Well, good morning. I want to thank you all for being here. In the last 48 hours, five police officers and seven more were wounded as they protected the constitutional rights of protesters to demonstrate. In this case, against the very actions of police officers in other cities. Yesterday, in Baldwin, Missouri, another police officer was shot in the neck during a traffic stop. Here in Columbia, we had a peaceful and passionate protest in downtown Columbia on Thursday, and last night more than 150 people joined together to grieve those lives lost. All of these demonstrations across the country were in response to the tragic and unacceptable police shootings in Baton Rouge and Falcon Heights. Officials in both of those communities are moving quickly to ensure that these questionable shootings are independently and thoroughly investigated. It should now be obvious that violence begets violence. Here in Columbia, we understand that there is a direct correlation between social unrest and social inequity. I am proud that our city council has made social equity and transparency a centerpiece of its decision making. And I am proud that Columbia's police officers protected not only the safety, but the First Amendment rights of both protesters and the public. I do not know the training protocols or police policies of Baton Rouge or Falcon Heights, but I do know the professional standards and excellence by which Columbia's police officers perform their duties every day. And I know these everyday heroes are understaffed and overworked, and I have great appreciation for the countless professional interactions they have with the community they are asked to protect and serve. And that's why I'm asking our community to come together in unity and support for all victims of this senseless violence. Let's honor these lives by becoming a model community of tolerance and unity that celebrates our differences and our diversity. I want to ask President Mary Ratliff of the NAACP Columbia branch to come forward. I want to first thank her for initiating this event and a very healthy dialogue that we had earlier today with Chief Burton and Bishop Lawson. But I want to ask her to come forward and make this very public appeal today. President Ratliff.
Good morning. First, I want to thank Chief Burton and Bishop Lawson for eagerly embracing this much-needed press conference, and we thank all of you for joining us. I want to take this opportunity to thank my executive committee for supporting this quick call to action. And just so that you know who they are, I'm going to ask them to stand. Just stand, Monroe back there, the Hardens, Valerie and Virginia, and Natalie Hamilton. Thank you, because I called them late last night. And I would like to always say to you that that this is my executive committee. And when they say the NAACP, they're speaking on behalf, that they are right there always. I've always touched bases with them. We are deeply saddened and troubled by the state of emergency we find ourselves engulfed in. And make no mistake, if we fail to come together as a community and nation to address this issue, we are making a grave mistake that we will suffer from. We must make it clear we are mourning not only the death of those in blue, but also the other two. We are calling for justice in the police killing of Mr. Sterling and Mr. Castle. We believe most of our police are fair, hardworking public servants, dedicated to their oath to keep us all safe. But we also know by evidence shown that some dishonor the uniform they wear. We come together today to help pull our community together in unity, to stop pointing fingers, but to get to work to make the changes in Columbia that can be mirrored across America. That means some quality time is required. That may mean instituting new things and new ideas. That means being inclusive of the total community. The three of us who have called this conference together ask you to work with us and assure you, you can put your trust in us to do all we can to make Columbia the model city for these times. First, we must acknowledge that we have racial problems in this community. One of our goals has to be to try and heal our wounded past in this community. There is mistrust between the police and citizen. We must be willing to work together to change that as our first priority. I know effort is being made with the community officers now in place to do community policing. We have to evaluate what that means to the community. Racial profiling has to stop. We understand the police have a job to do, and we are calling for a truce between our black brothers and sisters and the police. We are committed to supporting our officers in carrying out their duties in a fair and unbiased manner. We're calling upon officers to refrain from supporting those officers who discredit the department and the uniform they wear. I believe if we are willing to confront the problems of racial disparity in our community, we can begin our healing process. And that's what we are here for today, is for to heal the process starting in Columbia, Missouri. We want to make sure that everyone know that we are very much aware of what is going on over the country and that we want to be as diligent as we can in calling Columbia together. And we hope that we are saying to you, we've committed ourselves that we would not just let this be another meeting calling for another task force, but that we will diligently work to gather the police department, the community, the mayor's office. Those were commitments that we've all made here today. And I know how committed I am to that. And I will stake my reputation on the fact that we can and will make a difference in Columbia if we continue to move forward in the manner in which we have discussed today. Thank you so much.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior for allowing me to be here, because I could have easily been one of those black males. I have been stopped. I have the pistol drawn on me, my face in the street. And I thank God that that officer didn't pull the trigger. And I thought about that, how we, majority of us in this room, we don't think about our sons leaving the household and perhaps getting stopped by a police officer and maybe killed for a meaningless traffic violation. Something wrong with this system when that can happen. And the reason why I'm up here, and I'm not trying to demean what happened in Louisiana nor in Minnesota or Dallas. I send my heart, my prayers, and my condolences out to all of the families that's involved. But I live here in Columbia. And as the executive director of the Youth Empowerment Zone, I'm working with young black males on a daily basis. And I see what's going on right here in Columbia. No, we haven't had any of them murdered by the police officer. And I give thanks to Chief Burton and the Columbia police officers. But as Mary said, we do have racial profiling, which means the chances of it happening is increased because they're getting pulled over more and more than any other population. So we got to deal with that. But what I see is our kids, they are being murdered academically. And what am I talking about? They have the highest rate of dropout in our public school system, and we're supposed to have one of the best system in the country. They got the highest rate of suspension. So they being murdered academically, because if you don't get your education, that trickles down into you not being able to be successful in this society. They being murdered in our society for as being able to make a living. We got a 3% overall unemployment, one of the best, and I heard the city manager say this at a meeting, one of the best in the country. But when you look at young black African-American males, that rate goes up to double figures in the late teens. Economically, they're being murdered here in Columbia. And then when you look at where they end up, because if those two things is in place, what's going to happen? They're going to end up being murdered in the judicial system. The highest rate of incarceration is young black males. That's what I'm concerned about. I was at the courthouse yesterday. I'm seeing everyone that's coming before those who are in authority is white. Those coming before them is black. This is something that we can deal with right here in Columbia to try to prevent that huge thing of somebody being murdered before we galvanize and started doing things. That's what I want to see here in Columbia. And those are not something that is going to take a whole lot, but it's going to take us to come out of our comfort zone and give up a little bit of our privilege so that we can make sure that everybody is inclusive in this beautiful city that I was born and raised in, that I love. And that's the reason why I'm here, because we got to do something for our young black males and young black females that's being murdered in those different social categories. So if anything, I hope that we get that in our hearts, because this is becoming an urgent thing. We can't continue to let our young people be hopeless, because when you're hopeless, you will pick up one of those rifles, because I don't have nothing to lose anyway. And that's where I don't want our kids to get, because I'm hearing them, and they're saying, Bishop, I understand what you're saying, but I got to eat. I got to feed my family. I got to pay bills. And I can't get a job. Well, of course they can't get a job because they don't have a high school diploma. And the next thing that's happening is they're being hard by the criminal industry. And you find them up there at the courthouse being sentenced twice as harsh as their white counterpart. These are some things that we can address. And that's what I'm asking all of us in this city, to let's address the things and keep our city one of the best cities. I want our city to be the model city where every other city in the whole country will be coming to Columbia to find out how we did it. And together we can do it. Thank you very much.
start my comments by telling you something you probably don't know about me, but Monday will be the 39th anniversary of the day I started as a police officer. I started the academy in July 11th of 1977 in the Dallas Police Academy. There are no words that can adequately express the horror of the tragic event that occurred Thursday night in Dallas, Texas. Five police officers were killed, seven others were wounded in a cowardly and senseless attack. These very officers were present to protect those participating in a peaceful demonstration. They became targets of a madman simply because they wore a police officer's uniform. Law enforcement can be a dangerous profession. Our officers recognize the potential for encountering a dangerous individual or situation on every single contact and every single call. The results of tragedies like the one in Dallas, in response to suspect resistance across actions by the police that result in injury or death to a citizen, can seriously damage the relationships between police and the communities they serve. However, many times when these incidents occur, conclusions are erroneously drawn before an investigation is completed, and public opinion is inflamed before all of the facts are known. It's important to remember that the police are an extension and a vital part of the community, as all police authority comes from the public we serve. All Columbia police officers have sworn an oath to serve and protect our citizens. Columbia police officers live that oath every day and put themselves in harm's way to confront criminals and ensure the safety of our entire community. I want to thank Ms. Ratliff for bringing us all together, Mr. Mayor, Bishop Lawson. I'm with them. I think we can make things better in our community and be a model for the rest of the United States. Thank you for your time. We'll take about four or five questions if there are any for any of the speakers.
Chief Burton, Columbia's about 20% minority. Is the police force about 20% minority?
It's dismally low. We make every effort we can to attract African-American and Hispanic candidates. I think the state of law enforcement right now, it's going to be difficult to attract anybody. I mean, I was talking to some friends of mine last night that were this July the 9th, 1977, I'm not sure I would have shown up Monday morning. I mean, that's the way it's become. So we have some challenges ahead of us. It's a great profession. The years that I've been in it, I wouldn't change for the world. But it has changed, and things are going to be different. Is there a question?
How do you get your officers to properly respect everybody and treat everybody the same?
It sounds like you're implying that police officers in Columbia racially profile. They don't. The numbers are flawed. And we could get into a big discussion about that. That's the bishop's opinion, and I respect that. But my opinion is the data doesn't go far enough. We need to collect a lot more data than we are collecting, because we just collect the number of people that are stopped, what their race was, and then we stop there. There's a myriad of reasons why a police officer may stop somebody on traffic, but rarely is it because of their race, and only then it's because someone in the vehicle has been described by a certain race, and then the officer responds to that. Are there any other questions? In the back?
Is there any chance that the Columbia Police Department start implementing like inherent bias training?
Our officers are currently going through implied bias training. They've also been trained in procedural justice. We have reached out to the federal government and they came here and provided training for us on those topics. De-escalation techniques is another thing we're working on. We're trying to be very aggressive and progressive when it comes to things like that, because we want our officers to be safe. We want the citizens of the city to be safe. And if we can do things to improve that, we want to do that. Yes, back in the back.
Could you tell us a little bit about the police officers that go through the crisis intervention training and how that enables you to do your job better?
Yes, we have a pretty significant percentage of the department has been through crisis intervention training, and it's a very valuable tool for officers to be able to recognize people in crisis and then deal with them accordingly. I think it has actually reduced incidents where force might have been used in our city because of the training, the special training that the officers obtained through that program. We'd love to get the entire department through it, but it's a week-long course, and it'll take us a while to get there. But we continue to plug away at that because I'd like every officer to have that CIT training. Yes.
Both express the feeling that racial profiling is occurring in Columbia. You heard just heard what the chief said. What's your response to that?
Well, I got my information from the state of Missouri Highway Patrol report, and they the one that said, and if you look it up, you'll see that they said that in Columbia there's a very high rate of African Americans being stopped more than any other demographic.
So if the chief says that's not as a result of racial profiling.
Well, what the chief said was he wished that data would went farther. That's what he said. Because it only reported the stops, if I'm correct.
So what's the, if you had something to say to the police about how to change those numbers, what would you tell them?
You know, that's a very difficult question because I'm not in the training process of police officer. I don't really know exactly why, and that's a pretty what I would say a personal thing when an officer is patrolling. Why? It's kind of like in society. It's not just, this is systemic in society. I can go to Dillard's, walk in with a white gentleman, and I'll see the security guard following me. What would I do to stop that? I guess maybe turn white. Yes, ma'am.
It appears as if your data is very similar to Ferguson's with the traffic stops and everything. What's going on to prevent that? Because it seems like Columbia is a bubble that's waiting to happen, an incident such as Ferguson. So what are we doing as a community to prevent something like that?
Well, come on, Mary.
Okay, let me just share with you the reason why this meeting was called today is not to really, we all know that we have the racial profiling report. We know what it says. We know that we're not happy with that. We know that we are not happy with what has gone on over the country. We call this meeting together not to hash, and my favorite thing is that I know a song that says that yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never be mine. We are here today to start working toward tomorrow. We know that we have some problems in our community that needs to be solved. We know that we have problems. We talk about the mistrust between the police department. We know that that is there, the mistrust between the police department and the African-American community. We know that the racial profiling report is there. And when I asked the chief to meet, when I asked Lorenzo to meet, when the mayor and I have all talked, we know that we have some problems. We're saying that what can we do? Our commitment is today is to not just have this press conference, call another task force meeting. Our job, what I want to see happen here, and that's what all of us have expressed, is that today that we're going to start moving forward on how to make the changes into Columbia, to make this a model city, to live out what we feel is that can happen in Columbia. We feel that Columbia is a good city. We feel that we can make things happen if we are willing to put the time and the effort and work together to make Columbia a better place so that we don't have a Ferguson. That is our goal here today, not to talk about we know what happened yesterday. We cannot change what happened yesterday. We're talking about what we're going to do from today forward. So whatever you glean out of this, I hope that you will glean
that my purpose for asking the people that I asked to be here is because I believe they were progressive people that are willing to work toward making this a reality. Thank you. I think that, do we have?
We got one more question. Yes, ma'am.
That's a very good question, and officers go through a battery of selection processes that include a psychological exam that tries to identify those tendencies in people. They go through a background investigation, so if they have something in their background that indicates they might be, for lack of a better term, a hothead or somebody that can't handle having the authority, they get weeded out to the extent we can. I think history tells us we're not always able to do it, but we do the best job we possibly can. Also, internally, once officers come in, our philosophy and our belief in what we live by in the Columbia Police Department is that we treat people with dignity and respect. And when officers don't do that, it's dealt with and will continue to be dealt with. But I will tell you that the vast majority of police officers, not just in Columbia, but across the United States, go to work every day intending to do the right thing. They're human beings, and sometimes they make mistakes. And my commitment to you and my commitment to Ms. Ratliff is that when we encounter those problems and we have a problem officer, we're going to deal with it, either by correcting their behavior or getting them out of the system. And that's my commitment. One last question. Yes. Well, I just mentioned the stuff that we were doing, the procedural justice and the response to resistance. You notice I don't say use of force. We don't use force. We respond to resistance. So, some changes like that seem simple, but it changes the officer's mindset, and really, really accurately explains what they're doing. Okay. That was the last question. Thank you very much.